Okay, I'd like to call the May 17th, 2022 Budget and Finance Commission meeting to order. It is about 4:06. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening. And Ms. Cote, may I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Beasley? Can we get that one more time unmuted?
Here. Hope that works.
Thank you. Commissioner Longley?
Here.
Commissioner Fortunato?
Here.
Vice Chair Mason?
Here.
Chair Salverson?
Here.
Thank you. I will now lead the group in the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, thank you everybody here for joining us. If the public wishes to address any commission members, please raise your hand. I don't think we have anything. No? Can I pass through all of this? Okay.
There are no speakers.
All right. In that case, seeing there are no hands, we will close the call to audience. And Mr. Gephardt, please proceed with the staff liaison report.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. Just a few items to note this evening. Wanted to update you on the budget process. Certainly, you've all received a copy of the budget. We'll be discussing that. That's on your agenda later, so I don't want to say too much about it. Rest assured, we are very busy, or have been very busy, and continue to be busy in that process. Working towards presenting tentative budget to town council on June 1st, and then hopefully adoption on June 15th. Staff has been really busy working on updating our five-year forecast, you're probably well aware, updating our 10-year CIP as well. There were some minor adjustments that are being made to the 10-year CIP, and those will be included in the tentative budget presented to council on June 1st. With that, that concludes my comments this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gephardt. You and your staff have been very busy, and we appreciate it. Can we read in item one, Allison, please?
Agenda item one. Review and approval of the April 19, 2022 regular session meeting minutes.
Okay, are there any questions from the commission? Okay, I'd like to call for a motion.
Motion.
A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 And all opposed? Motion passes. Item two, please, Allison.
Agenda item two, discussion of town manager's recommended budget for fiscal year 2022-2023.
Okay, and who are you presenting, David?
Well, I'll go ahead and lead off, Madam Chair. So presented in your packet this evening is the fiscal year 2022-23 town manager's recommended budget. The budget is balanced, structurally balanced. There has been, we kind of started off this process with one-on-one council member presentations to all the council members. Additionally, we had two study sessions last week where we went into further detail. We have included, out of those one-on-one council member presentations, we have included a list of questions that council members had and staff responses to those questions. And so that's included for your review as well. Staff is here to answer or address any additional questions the commission may have this afternoon. With that, I'll be quiet and turn the floor over either to Town Manager Jacobs or back to the board chair. Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I just may, I do want to alert the Budget and Finance Commission that there will be one major change that will result in the budget being lowered by over $11 million for the fiscal year in the tentative budget that was discussed with Council last week, and that is that the Northwest Recharge Recovery and Delivery System, we call it the NERDS project, that project came in significantly higher. This is a partnered project with Marana and Metro Water. And the partners got together, evaluated their options, and because of the breadth of this project, multi-million dollars over multi-years, and even in consultation with the high bidder, or excuse me, the low bidder, the partners determined that a pause would be wise at this juncture. And so so that project will be pushed out a little bit further, and so that right there is a pretty big drop because the town is the fiscal agent for the project, so we would have received all of the revenues from our other two partners as well. So we have to budget the whole thing. And so I do want to make note of that. So we're finalizing those adjustments to the tentative budget based on input from council last week, a few other things. We also have updated, or we're finalizing an update to our carryovers. You know, our carryovers, we make those plans, and the departments submit their carryover amounts back in early March as we develop the budget, and so some of these are moving along, and we'll be able to lower those costs a bit, and so that's also contributing to the, you know, part of the modification to the budget. And again, as soon as we have that information, we'll forward that to the Budget and Finance Commission as well, and we'll be happy to go over that with you at your next meeting, which will be prior to the final adoption of the budget.
Okay, Mary, $5.4 million I thought was what was in the budget for that project, and you just said $11
million. Madam Chair, $5.4 million is for the transfer of the ARPA dollars that it's going into the water fund. And so we're going to essentially loan those dollars to water, let them use them because they qualify, and then that will help the water utility so that they don't have to borrow as much money in the future for the NERDS project.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Go ahead. Any questions? No, just on what Mary was explaining.
On the item you were just talking about, some of the project described last week, we're still going to continue on a smaller scale. Will those be put back into the budget for the individual city?
Certainly. The project that will be moving forward, the portion of the project that will be moving forward is related to, there are what we call partnered pieces and non-partnered. So there's a piece that belongs solely to us that will benefit only our residents, and it's kind of the very end of the line of the NERDS project. And that is a piece of infrastructure that's needed for our future growth area in the 886 acres of state land that is on our plans for future annexation and development. And so we'll need that infrastructure. We're going to move forward with that instead and use those ARPA dollars for that project because there is a shot clock on the ARPA dollars. We need to expend them or have them encumbered before the end of calendar year 2024.
Okay, thank you.
And also, Madam Chair, I think what I'd like to do just very briefly is give you a little bit of overview on a couple of the themes that we're seeing in the budget for this fiscal year. The first theme that we're seeing is inflation. And so that theme, I know, shocking, right? That theme is reflected both in our expenditures. We are definitely seeing increases in both commodities, everything from, pavement preservation and asphalt, as well as our services, service contracts, you know, everything pretty much across the board. There was not a department that did not come in without some requests in advance for, for having to address inflation. Gasoline, you know. The other area, on the flip side, it is also affecting our revenues. You know, the more that people pay, sadly, the more revenue we get in terms of our sales taxes. And so while our revenues do look healthy, I do want to assure the commission that we continue to be very conservative in our projections. And I think that that has served this community well over the years. I think that given the uncertainty with regard to potential, recession, that looks more and more likely. Hopefully it'll be a mild recession, but we don't know. It's a little too early. And so we want to ensure that we're protecting the future expenditures and that we are still going to be in a strong position at the end of the fiscal year as we feel that we are at the beginning of the fiscal year. So that's one theme. The second theme is that we have some additional needs in terms of our staffing. And over the two COVID years, we've been pretty tight in terms of adding additional staff. So we do have, 13 total FTEs added in the fiscal year, but a fair amount, I think two-thirds of those positions will be funded through additional revenues. So for the police positions, that will include the Smart and Safe dollars, which is the marijuana, recreational marijuana sales taxes. We'll also get some additional resources from the opioid settlement and then positions in transit and also in recreation are offset by revenue. So as we add fitness instructors, we get fitness revenues to offset those costs. We also have a pretty healthy capital budget for next fiscal year. And that is in part a continuation of the projects that the council has specifically directed the execution of, primarily dealing with the $25 million bond that was issued for Parks and Rec, as well as we do have some road projects and, of course, the water projects and whatnot. But it is a very healthy budget and capital budget, but we do feel good about the projects that are moving forward, and some of them are carryover projects. We did increase our amount of contingency that will be available because of potential cost overruns. And, depending on how things come in, we might have to make some adjustments or value engineer or, we look at each of those projects on a case-by-case basis. And then lastly, there is a pretty notable increase in terms of personnel costs, not just because of the new positions, but also because we want to continue to be an employer of choice for this community. And so the classification and compensation review that we're doing and that implementation, we've included some resources, $1.3 million in the general fund for next fiscal year. And then, of course, for ongoing steps and merits for our existing employees. So that sort of wraps up our kind of overarching themes. There was, I want to give our departments a great deal of credit for their responsible budget requests. Nobody asked for things that were pie in the sky. Nobody was asking for things that were, could not be justified. And I think they've really done a tremendous job. So I'm really proud of my team. We've worked very hard to put a balanced budget together and a budget that meets the strategic leadership plan items of the council, but also, first and foremost, the needs of the community. And that is always at our forefront as we put this together. So With that, you know, there's a lot of, I know we don't have the department directors here. Hopefully you've had a chance to listen to some of the study sessions information, but certainly between Dave and I, we probably can answer most of your questions, and if we don't, we'll be happy to do a follow-up report for you.
Any more questions? Or are we presenting some?
On your contingencies, did you base it just on a wild-ass guess, or did you have a, you shouldn't say that, should I? Or should it, you know, CPI versus something, or how did you go about getting the contingencies for this big budget?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. For the general fund operations, we left the contingency the same that we've had for the last two fiscal years, which is $5 million. And we never had to touch it. So we felt that continued to be strong. Again, that's more for operations. For the capital, we didn't really do it on a percentage basis. We are setting aside $6 million, right? In capital? $5 million in capital, and typically we've only had a couple $1 million in there. And so, you know, again, based on all of the, you know, we don't have unlimited funds, right? And so it's a careful balance between do we move forward with projects, do we not? Do we think things will improve in the future? What we're hearing is that the complex projects are the ones that are costing more because there's more uncertainty with them. And that because there's so much infrastructure dollars out there through the federal stimulus that has been given, the ARPA dollars, and the contractors are going for the simple projects that they, you know, can predict, that they know. We're just fairly recent, we have been notified of a concrete. Concrete is now being rationed, and so that will impact costs. That will also impact when we do projects. And so it's possible that there will be a natural, well, let's go ahead since we're not going to have enough concrete and push this one into the following fiscal year, which then gives us some capacity in order to address, you know, whatever the projects are that are moving forward. So there's, you know, it is one of those. We would like to have enough capacity in there to be able to address cost increases, but not at an exponential basis. You know, for example, I'll give you. We increased the amount of money just for our pavement preservation by about $350,000. If we find that to do the same amount for next fiscal year is really $450,000, we might shrink what we do by that $100,000, or we might, you know, just shuffle some other money around. So we'll have that flexibility to evaluate. And we have a capital committee that looks at all of these things every single month. So they get together, they review, we see where we are in the procurement process and make some decisions on a month-by-month basis.
So the numbers in the information that we've been given, it's $159.2 million is the budget. So you're saying that's going to go down by 11.
Yes.
And if I look at that compared to last year of 162, and there's always kind of what I call the big stuff, coming in and going out and all the extra CARES Act funding and so forth. Given the increases caused by inflation and looking at our costs, that you've got your payroll costs, you've got your services, you've got your capital. And then looking at the revenue, which we anticipate the revenue is going to go up as well because a lot of it's based on tax, which is based on items that are purchased that are also increased. Would you say that in total we are going to be the budget is costing us more than what we're bringing in. If you just kind of look at those pieces, am I making sense what I'm asking? Like,
Madam Chair, I'll take a stab at that. So yeah, there we will have more. I mean, it is anticipated that we will have more outflows than inflows next fiscal year, but that will be primarily be due to the capital side of things. That's really what's driving a lot of the budget. Again, that $25 million Parks and Rec bond issuance. Those are going to be one-time projects. Certainly, we won't probably complete all of them, just due to timing and whatnot. But we will make some serious headway, both on the golf irrigation project and then other projects, the Naranjo Park project and multi-use paths and those types of things that have been loaded into, that have been allocated to that bond issuance. So I think the short answer is yes, but it will mostly be due to one-time projects and capital projects in terms of ongoing costs being supported by ongoing revenues and operating type revenues, local sales tax, and that sort of thing. The budget is structurally balanced. So that hopefully that gives you kind of a sense of what we expect for next fiscal year.
So I'm not seeing any reduction in services provided or any reduction in, obviously, number of employees. You're increasing by 13.
Correct.
So due to inflation, we're still providing the same level of service. We're still doing everything we've always done.
That's correct. Okay. And even the new positions that are being, just as an example, the police department. The chief requested two additional officers, a civilian public information officer, which will free up the current sergeant to be back on the street. So really, it's sort of a net new availability of three officers by this, and that is a really great opportunity for us to, and that's based on their data in order to continue our level of service. So I asked Chris Hutchinson to pull up a particular slide that we showed to the council in our budget briefings, because he did a great job in. This is a slide that, just to kind of give you a little bit of background, that helps to, I like the way Chris said it, take out some of the noise about these one-time fund sources. And so if you look at this slide, again, so this goes from 15-16 all the way through the proposed 22-23 recommended budget, which will go down now, but at least you get a flavor. But what I love about this slide is it shows those one-time things, so you can see the apples-to-apples comparison. The blue bar, the sky blue bar, which shows, you can see where those numbers are going and staying. So we're actually slightly down in terms of our total O&M from last fiscal year. And then our, that's revenue. I apologize. Yeah. And then our expenses that are going up, and you can see how the orange bar goes up. And then you take out those transfers out, and for the coming fiscal year, that represents a transfer of $13 million, which is now the excess reserves that, per the council financial policies, can only be used for capital. And so rather than leaving it as excess fund balance, it rightfully belongs in the capital fund so that we can then use it, plan it, and spend for it. And that also helps us in terms of our projections and in our forecasting. By putting that in there, then we know how much money is going to be available so that we can have a more accurate capital forecast. And so in last fiscal year, you see the PSPRS payment, that one time, and then that goes away. And of course, the federal dollars, the ARPA dollars, and the CARES Act dollars. And so this is just a really great slide. And then what you also notice in terms of the fund balance is if you go back to 15-16, the fund balance was close to the 25% reserve policy. Of course, that's where we want to be. That's our gold standard. We will always stick with that. We haven't had to dip into that 25% reserve in any of our recollection or from previous employees at all, which says a lot, I think, for the financial management of this organization over the years. But what happened, you can see, is that that number started going up as we started receiving CARES Act and that kind of thing. And we were using dollars for additional payments to PSPRS. But since the PSPRS was resolved last year, then the financial policies say that those excess reserves are used for one thing and one thing only, and that's capital. And so, you know, it just, by getting that down and showing the reserves, that $13 million still is part of the town's reserves. It doesn't go away until it's spent. It just is going to be shown in the capital budget so that we can, you know, plan for and use those capital dollars in our projection, our five-year forecast for capital. Oh, I really like this slide and appreciate Chris Hutchinson putting it together.
Thank you. This is a great chart that you should save for a long time, because you'll go back and you'll say, what happened that year?
That's a great idea.
This is a really good visual. If you look in the earlier years, is the gray primarily capital, the transfers out? And does that mean that when I look at transfer to fund for 22-23, and the relative size of the box is huge, and which is kind of what you've been telling us, that the reason we're going to be over is because of the amount we're spending in capital, and is this a visual that shows that as well?
Yeah, Madam Chair, if I may, the gray those transfers out can be either one of two things. They can either be for capital, transfers to the capital fund, or they can be utilized for debt service, a transfer to a debt service fund. So I'd have to go back and look back to 15-16, but I believe it's probably a combination of both over that period of time.
And Madam Chair, I can tell you, you know, having been here now, this is my fifth budget. And when I first got here, the town was still coming out of that recession, right? I mean, it took a while to really get things. And so the difference between the 25% reserve policy and the there wasn't as much excess reserves that there that we have been, you know, able to collect over the years or that have shown up in the past, because things just were tighter. Our projections were a little refined. They were always conservative, but there wasn't a lot of movement in them. And that was also pre-Amazon, pre-internet sales, you know, in terms of our projections. And so when that number came, and I believe in 1920, I can't remember which, and we started seeing, you see that number started going up as well, because those internet sales were hard to predict. And we didn't have a lot of experience on that. We were already collecting some, but we didn't have a lot of experience. And so we didn't really have the information that we needed to, you know, more accurately project those. But now we get better. Now we have some historical information. Now we're better and better in terms of our projections.
Do we know the amount of sales tax revenue collections, that the percent that's from internet sales versus brick and mortar?
We'll see if we can pull that up. If we don't have it at our fingertips, we can get that for sure.
Any other questions?
I just have a few minor little questions going through the budget. I was going through the manager's letter, town man, and On page 9, it talks about the staff will conduct an analysis of recreational amenity requirements. Does that include Vistoso?
One moment, please. I have to remember my Roman numerals now.
And Madam Chair, while the town manager's looking that up, looking at last fiscal year, the collections on the remote seller, we were at about 7% of our total sales tax collected were remote seller collections.
I guess I would have expected it to be a little higher, but given the amount my family spent on Amazon, but that's interesting.
Okay, so the analysis that is going to be conducted is related to requirements that it's a planning issue, and it has to do with what are we asking new subdivisions to include as far as minimum requirements for recreation amenities. And the reason why this came up is because in some cases it makes more sense. You all have been to Rancho Vistoso and some of the other neighborhoods where there's a lot of little small pocket parks. In some cases, it might make sense to do one larger park, you know, a little bit larger park than the small little neighborhood parks. And so they were going to take a look at what the code says on that and see if it can be improved to make for a more meaningful recreational amenity for the area.
So it doesn't have Vistoso in it at all, then?
It does not.
Okay. What is the Rooney Property Master Plan?
That's a great question. So last year, about a year and a half ago, the town received a 109-acre piece of property that is over, you all know where the Chipotle Plaza is, right? And the affectionately the Bridge to Nowhere off of Push View. Well, it's basically that property behind there, and it's kind of longish. And so there's some initial consideration in terms of a possibility of using that property in the future for municipal services. And the one thing that has come out as our greatest need at this point is a new police station. So, however, having said that, after some discussion with the council last week, and certainly without having an opportunity for council to weigh in on what the ultimate use of that property is going to be, because we were just beginning the planning process on it, what I will be doing in the updated 10-year forecast that will come in the final approval is to remove that line item altogether and simply put a new line item in there called New Police Station. And that'll be in the 10-year CIP at $40 million over 3 years, starting in a couple years. And really, and the council does know this, and this is probably something that I'll come back to you with as a tasking in the future. But we won't be able to build a new police station without a new revenue source. And so we'll need some input on the part of the Budget and Finance Commission when we get to that point, and we'll bring to you what some of those options are, get your feedback before we end up going to council with some of those ideas. But it's not going to be imminent, so bear with us as we so right now the change really is largely a placeholder to demonstrate to the community that it is a priority of the town, but we have a lot of work ahead of us before that moves forward.
Thank you. Further down the page, you talk about where capital fund is going to give water money for a project. How long of a payback period will that be?
We haven't finalized the water utility is going to look at what that might be, but we will bring forward a formal agreement that will be approved by council what are we calling it, Dave?
It's, if I may, Vice Chair Mason, it's just going to be an interfund agreement, interfund loan agreement that will be memorialized. There will be an interest rate associated with it. It's going to function a little bit in some ways in the same way as the loan agreement we had with the Community Center Fund and the General Fund, but in other ways a little bit differently, just in terms of structure. And it's just going to, you know, the Community Center Fund loan from the General Fund, it was just, you know, it was basically initiated and approved by resolution. There wasn't really any terms associated. It was just kind of the resolution set the terms, 0% over 10 years repayment, I believe. And so this loan agreement, we're still working on the structure of it, but basically the intent here is that it will be a win-win for both the town and the water utility, in the sense that the water utility will not have to go out to bond for this project, for that $5.4 million. It saves them some bonding costs, which can be a little bit pricey, just the professional costs. And then, you know, from the town standpoint, the repayment, it frees those ARPA monies to be really unrestricted back to the town general fund or whatever purpose we decide to use those monies moving forward. So, we're still working on the term. I believe it's going to be anywhere between 10 and 20 years repayment, but knowing our water utility director, he tends to be a little bit conservative as well and want to pay things off quicker. So I would anticipate it would be closer to 10 than the 20, but that will really be up to a negotiation and discussion with the water utility.
Okay, thanks. On Roman numeral 12, under the Community Center Fund, you talk about the expected transfer of the former Vistoso golf course to the town. Is there any payment that the town has to make for that?
Madam Chair, Vice Chair Mason, the town did participate in the settlement of the of that process, and it was $883,000. And that was already in order for the property to be turned over to the Conservation Fund, that settlement agreement needed to be finalized, and so the town has paid that settlement accordingly.
Thank you. On Roman numeral 13, you talk about the town funds a healthy vehicle reserve in the capital fund for vehicles. How is that process set up, and are you having trouble getting the vehicles?
Vice Chair, yep, we sure are. in fact, we have a number of vehicles that were carried over into the next fiscal year because we couldn't get them in on time. We're also anticipating some changes in how police vehicles are purchased in the future. And so we're going to work through those and get them transferred as quickly as we can. But, you know, I do want to give this vehicle reserve has been set aside every year in the general fund for, gosh, since well before I got here by the prior town managers and CFOs, and is gradually increased, right, based on the value of our fleet for replacement. So it doesn't pay for everything, but what it has enabled is even in a downturn, you know, your vehicles still wear out, right? And when there's a downturn, there is always a hesitancy to, oh, we better cut in this area. And this vehicle reserve has really been, a way that those continuing replacements that are necessary to keep our operating costs down have been able to be made over the years. So a really great great start, and we continue to increase it ourselves and then use that money in the following fiscal year for vehicle replacements.
Okay, thank you. On page Roman number 15, charge for services, you show an increase there for park-related revenues. Does that include the impact of the tennis courts and everything being closed down?
Madam Chair and Vice Chair Mason, we did include in our community center revenues and, in their actual budget, the expectation that we would potentially lose some members during this time. What we are offering some alternatives to folks. I think we will lose some revenue. We're giving them the opportunity to suspend their membership until the courts are done. And that's the right thing to do. We're glad to be doing it. Some people are continuing their memberships because they still use the fitness facilities and, you know, they're going to play tennis at the push facility. So we're opening up the push tennis courts to any of our classic members as well. Pickleball's a little tougher because there aren't a lot of spaces for it, and we do have a wonderful pickleball contingent here in this community. We did open up a tape over the lines at Riverfront Park, and so that space is available. And, you know, we're just hoping for everyone's patience because what we're going to get in the end is going to be fabulous.
And by the way, the parking at the community center is great. It's
much better, huh?
On 16, you talk about, the merits and stuff and the other personnel charges. Do you know about what percent of the employees in the city receive merits?
Vice Chair, all of our employees are eligible for merit increases. And so they're different between, we have our sergeants and sergeants and below, basically, officers, sergeants, which also include our detectives and our lead officers. They are on a step plan system, and so their increases are different, and then we budget a merit increase opportunity for employees, and those employees that have successful or outstanding evaluations then are eligible to receive their increase on their anniversary date. And so that's how we currently do it.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. Pretty minor. On page 5, where you show the financial statements for the grants and contribution fund summary, the ending fund balance you show is committed. What makes that committed versus maybe restricted because it's a grant fund?
If I may, Madam Chair, Chair Mason, it probably ought to be restricted. That probably is a better categorization of that. Typically, grant funds are restricted depending on the grantor's requirements. Really, it kind of depends on the grant document. But typically, we think of those resources as restricted. And then once those compliance-related requirements are met, then they transfer from restricted to unrestricted. So that's probably just a misstep on our part that probably just needs to get cleaned up and corrected.
Okay. Same thing in the community center fund. Your ending fund balance is restricted. Is there some outside restriction on those?
Madam Chair, Vice Chair Mason, I'm not aware of any outside restriction on those. That probably ought to be committed because the commitment really is set by council direction. So again, that's probably just something that we need to clean up moving forward.
One little final thing here. On page 21, back at the revenue schedule by fund, I noticed that user fees for swimming pool are listed under the general fund, and it seems to show a pretty good projected increase in 22. What's causing that?
Madam Chair, Vice Chair Mason, we have we're getting our two things. First of all, we are gradually getting back to pre-pandemic levels, and so part of that is based on what our actuals were for this year, which were healthier than our projections as we came out of the pandemic. Masks were no longer required. People were bringing their kids back to the pool, and we started seeing additional users. The other is a projection because we are adding some additional part-time staff over there so we can increase the fitness offerings in our pool. And so we have revenue projections offsetting that additional, those additional part-time positions that are needed in order to continue offering those.
Thank you. And I also noticed that you show swimming pool user fees in the general fund, and you also show a little bit in the community center fund. Is there a difference there? Or?
The facilities that are tied specifically to the community center and have been traditionally included in the community center fund, that does include the pool associated with the former country club. And so that's part of membership. So really we've got, there aren't, unless there's minor rental fees or you know, whatnot for the pool at the community center, it's typically part of your membership. And so the membership is what pays for your ability to use that pool. The aquatic center, however, is a general fund operation, and so that always has been. Now, you know, down the road, is it possible that the community center fund, which the council has already opened up to all Parks and Rec, right now it's focused on being available for capital projects, Parks and Recreation capital projects, but technically their amendment last year does open up that entire fund to any Parks and Rec programs or amenities. So it's not something that I'm looking at right now or even recommending at this point, but, you know, down the road it might make sense for us to consider that.
Thank you. And last, on page 22, under the administrative service and financial services, you show a pretty significant increase there in projected. What's causing that?
Madam Chair, Vice Chair Mason, so we actually undertook a study this past year to take a look at actual costs that should be charged to our water utility for administrative charges. As you're probably well aware, maybe not, but our water utility doesn't have their own administrative, they don't have their own legal department, their own HR, their own finance department, processing checks, et cetera. So there are charges related to, overhead charges essentially, that are related to our water utility where they utilize town administrative services. So that's what that increase represents. We have not looked at that charge or done a formal calculation in quite some time, and so we decided to, it was time to freshen it up, and you know, we felt like this was a good year to do it with inflation and so forth. And so as we went through the drill and the process of calculating what that looked like, it ended up being a pretty significant increase over what's been charged historically.
And part of that, Mr. Vice Chair, is that the water utility has taken on some additional software projects, and all software and technology is budgeted in the general fund in the Technology and Innovation Department. And so, for example, their new customer service software, I think, is going to be, I don't know, $200,000 annually, and then a new one that they're doing to replace the entire system that they call it their SCADA system that operates all of the valves and, you know, that kind of thing. They're looking at that next fiscal year, and that's $300,000 or $400,000. And so that jumps that up as well. And it's not just the cost of Dave's time and my time and that kind of thing. We didn't jump it up that much, but technology was a big part of that.
Okay, thanks. That's all I have. And again, I think you guys do a great job in putting this together, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, do we have any other questions? Or I don't know if Commissioner Beasley, he usually has questions.
I have a couple. Has the pricing for services been adjusted for inflation? And at the same time, do we draw a distinction between pricing for services for residents versus non-residents of Oral Valley?
That is a great question. In terms of our charges, is that what you're talking about, Commissioner Beasley, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. We have very few areas where we make a big distinction in terms of resident versus non-resident, largely because it's very difficult for staff to, you know, show me your address, look it up, make sure you're in the town limits, you know, that sort of thing. We do have some, but I'll have to go get back with staff and get you. It's a great question. Where are the ones where we do have that differential? We do have a few areas where we have a differential. And so if I may, I'd like to get with the right people on the team, and we'll get you a written report here in the near future.
Thank you. Could you also address the question, have we adjusted the pricing for those services because of inflation?
Mr. Beasley, we talked about it, and we started looking at some preliminary information on the part of Parks and Recreation regarding fee increases. The hard part is that we want to do a little more community outreach before we make any changes. And it's always a challenge, especially during inflation time, for those things that are community driven to, you know, to increase to what end? In other words, what's our goal and how much do we get out of it for, you know, a dollar increase at the aquatic center, as an example? You know, how much revenue does that bring in versus how many people, you know, would that be impacting? And so my big issue is I want to make sure we get some community feedback on that and involve our Parks and Recreation Advisory Board in that evaluation before we make any notable changes. We do evaluate it based on if a new class is offered, you know, it's priced accordingly, that sort of thing. But I will tell you that we have not changed our, as an example, and I think you may have seen that answer in the report, we have not changed our fees at the Aquatic Center for some time. We have changed lane rental fees, that we have done, but in terms of entrance fees to just come in and use the pool, we haven't changed it in, I don't know, 7 or 8 years or possibly, I think since we renovated the pool the last time. And I don't remember what that date was.
Thank you. Dave, a quick question for you. We're making some assumptions for interest income on the short-term investment portfolio. What rate are we using for that?
Madam Chair, if I may, Commissioner Beasley, we typically don't utilize a rate assumption for investment income. We kind of rely upon historical information just because there can be volatility both in terms of what the market is doing as we're seeing, but also in terms of a variability in from the standpoint of what reserves we actually have invested. I think as we look to this next fiscal year, the challenging piece, as I mentioned, is we will be spending down, and we'll see what it looks like, but spending down probably a pretty significant portion of our reserves just in capital projects. And then the allocation piece across funds always becomes a bit challenging as well, just because it's based upon the cash balance. We utilize pooled cash, and the investment income that we allocate to each of the funds is based upon the reserve balance or cash balance in each fund at the end of the month. So I really don't have a good, unfortunately, I don't have a good answer for you right now. I think as you're probably well aware, I do expect investment income to increase just from a rate basis because we're seeing rates rise in our portfolio in the investments that we invest in. We're moving out of treasuries, just as an example, moving out of treasuries and into more corporate securities, which are producing a higher yield. But with that said, that's going to be balanced with how quickly we burn through cash with our various capital projects that we have going on throughout the year. So it's a little bit challenging. It's always, you know, kind of a best guess. What we like to do is kind of be very conservative there, because not only are we looking at actual interest income that gets remitted to the town on a month-by-month basis through our investment portfolio, but we also mark-to-market our investments at the end of the year, and so that can also have a pretty significant swing in terms of what impact that has on our investment income at the end of the year that we report in our financial in our annual financial statements. So hopefully that answers your question. Kind of a long answer, but probably not the one that you're hoping to hear.
I appreciate your comment in any case. One quick comment. This Zoom, from my perspective, is working great because unfortunately I couldn't be there today. And I appreciate everyone who tried putting this thing together to make it work.
Okay. So no more questions for you?
That's it for now.
Okay. I had just a couple more. Let's see. I was curious about, I know you said turnover is about 11%. I'm curious how that compares to other municipalities, if we know that at all, and what we're expecting.
Madam Chair, I don't know, but I can certainly see if the League of Arizona Cities and Towns has any of that turnover information, or at least we can look at some national standards in terms of what turnover is. I believe talking with our human resources director, our number didn't scare him. He wasn't like, ooh, that's a big concern. And it is dependent. It's different in different departments. But we'll definitely follow up with you and let you know.
Completely different subject. Kind of storefront space and business space. What I know you had mentioned, it's hard to figure out how many stores have come in versus how many have left, and I can completely appreciate that. But I'm wondering if you have any idea how much storefront space is available at this particular time and what we expect going forward this year.
Madam Chair, we do have some of that information available, and I believe we're getting that on our new economic development website, so that site selectors but I don't know if it's, you know, constant, right? Because things turn around. But I will follow up with our community economic development department and see. If how do we keep track of it and how do we make that information available? Because we do get requests all the time. We get people calling and saying, hey, I'm looking to come to Oro Valley. And it's up, really, we want to be able to say, hey, here's some spaces that we know are available and fit your needs.
Thank you. And my last question has to do with sort of deep dive studies. And I know you're doing the classification and comp review. That's going to be the big one for this year. And what I'm wondering is, do we rotate through different categories of cost? And for example, is there a plan that every 5 years you look at compensation? And what are the other categories of costs that might be represented in the budget that we could maybe be expecting a deep dive into?
I don't have anything planned specifically in terms of a deep dive, an analysis, as certainly not as big as the classification compensation. The class comp plan, the overall plan, does need to be reviewed periodically just to make sure that it stays current. And that's oftentimes something that can be done internal with the staff that we have looking at comparable agencies every 3 to 5 years or when the market jumps. You know, and we know we have to jump in order to continue to remain competitive. I think our biggest area of expenditure, and this is one that we're constantly looking at, is in the area of our technology. And technology continues to be that expense that will grow because we are demanding its use constantly. And so, but it's all dependent on every single department. So there are major projects that we look at in, for example, the one that I was mentioning to you in water on their SCADA system. That will be a significant work effort on the part of our IT staff to evaluate and go through an RFP process. They do a significant amount of research. They bring in the prospective bidders and then they select someone and go through that part. That's a huge work effort. The other one that Water implemented this past year is also a major work effort. So those are ones, and we're also doing one in community economic development. Those are all related to how can we do a better job in terms of customer interface, making our being more efficient, and in some cases replacing old, maybe unsupported or poorly supported software products with ones that are better supported. That is going to be an ongoing process, and it's one that, you know, our chief information officer sits down with our department directors monthly. They look ahead. We find out. But in terms of that, you know, I think a deep dive, I think the fees we are definitely look at. We will have a few master fee schedule changes that will come forward next month, but they're not ginormous. The impact fee, we did budget funds for the coming fiscal year to review our impact fees again, and so that's always a significant work effort and brings in whatever those changes in revenues would be. So, yeah, those are great questions. I can't necessarily think of, I'll probably think of as soon as I walk out, I'll go, oh, I should have mentioned this, which is always how it works. But if I think of anything else, we'll do a follow-up in our written response to you.
Thank you. And I will echo Mike's comments just about how impressed I am with how well you do the attention to detail, all the detail that's included in this. I mean, there's just not a whole lot of stones to unturn with this, so, which is great. And you all have always answered all the questions so well. So thank you.
Thank you, Chair Salveston. We appreciate that.
Anybody else? Okay. Okay, I think we're done with our questions, though, with the budget. So if Allison would read item number 3 for us.
Agenda item 3. Presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 2021-2022 financial update through March 2022.
I decided I needed to stand up for this one. been sitting a little bit too long. I am not Wendy Gomez, by the way. Wendy's out. So I'll be presenting our monthly financial report this afternoon. And so we'll kind of dive right into it. Next slide, Chris. Chris is going to be driving back there for me. So things continue to look very positive 3/4 of the way through the fiscal year. At year end, our all year end estimates have been kept the same as reported last month. Diving right in, looking at general fund revenues, we see that sales tax collections are at $19.7 million, or 93% of budget, and we expect them to end the fiscal year 23% over budget, which is about $4.9 million. All categories continue to perform well, including restaurant bar, bed taxes, retail, et cetera. Looking at state revenue sharing, we received about $10.8 million through March, or 79% of budget. We're expecting to end the year at about $540,000, or just under 4% over budget for that category. As has been mentioned previously, the new Smart and Safe funds are helping here, as that revenue source was unbudgeted this fiscal year. Recreation revenues are trending higher than expected, which is helping charges for services outperform budget. That category is almost $1.9 million, or 79% of budget through March. They are expected in the year at $127,000, or 5.3% over budget. In licenses and permits, SFR permits have picked up a little over the year as the year has progressed. However, most of what you're seeing there in that category is on the commercial side. Collections are at $1.93 million, or 104%, or 4%, I guess, over 104% over budget. And we expect to end the year at $2.2 million, which is $350,000, or 19% over budget. Grant revenues consist primarily of ARPA dollars that we expect to recognize this fiscal year. All other includes intergovernmental revenues, interest income, and other miscellaneous revenues, revenue for this category. In total, these are expected to come in on budget at year end. Looking at the total there for the revenues, we have actuals at about $39.3 million, which is about 83.5% of budget. And we are expected to come in at $53.1 million, which is about $6 million, or 13% over budget. Again, strong sales tax collections from inflation is helping the town outperform budget. Moving on to expenditures for the general fund, our personnel actuals are at $20.2 million through March, or about 66% of budget. We are expecting some savings by fiscal year end due to turnover and vacancies. We're looking to come in at about $29.5 million, or 96% of budget. O&M is trending pretty much on budget. We are at $17.4 million in actuals, which is about 79% of budget. The $10 million PSPRS reserve payment from July is impacting this category, and we're expecting to end the year at about $22.1 million in expenditures, which is slightly over budget due primarily to inflation. Looking at capital, the large variance you see there for the year-end estimate is our westward look improvements. Some of that is going to be carried over into the next fiscal year, and that really is driving the variance for capital. And then there's transfers out, where we budgeted both the principal and interest payments from the PSPRS pension obligation bond issuance, but only an interest payment was due this fiscal year, and so that's generating the savings you see there. In total, for expenditures, we've spent about $42.4 million, which is about 69% of budget, and we are expecting to end the year at about $58.5 million, and that's $2.7 million, or 4.5% below budget. Here's the chart for the general fund. Revenues of $39.3 million compared to $37.1 million last fiscal year through March. On the expenditure side, we see actuals of $42.4 million compared to $28.9 million last fiscal year, due primarily to the $10 million PSPRS reserve payment. We budgeted a deficit or planned use of fund balance of $14.2 million. And we are now expecting to only need to use about $5.4 million of fund balance. That would land us at about $27 million in estimated ending fund balance, which is 50% of our budgeted expenditures, and would exceed the council's 25% policy by about $13.5 million. Moving on to the highway fund, I don't think there's been a whole lot that has changed from February. In terms of the structure of the fund, we had mentioned that our HERF revenues are trending quite well. They continue to do so. You can see through March, the HERF dollars are already at about $2.9 million or 80% of budget, and we are expecting those to come in at about $3.9 million by year end. That's really driving the overall variance in the fund. We're expecting to land at $3.9 million in total revenues for the fund, and that's about $265,000 or 7.3% over budget. For the expenditures in the highway fund, in personnel, we've spent about $817,000 or 68% of budget. We expect to see just a smidge of savings at year end in this category. For O&M, we're expecting this category to come in on budget. Through March, we had spent $396,000 or 64% of budget. And capital as well, we're expecting that category to land on budget. We had our Lambert CIP project complete, as well as most of our pavement preservation. So that category is sitting at almost $2 million of expenditures through March, which is 88% of budget. And again, we expect that to land on budget by year end. In total, we've spent about $3.2 million, a little over $3.2 million, or 78% of budget. We are expecting to come in just a smidge under budget due to some of those slight personnel savings. Jumping to the chart for the highway fund, we have actual revenues of $2.9 million compared to $2.7 million last fiscal year through March. Expenditures are at $3.2 million versus $2.4 million, again, last fiscal year. And that's primarily likely due to just the timing of the capital between the two fiscal years. We're a little bit more accelerated through March this fiscal year than we were last fiscal year. As a reminder, we did plan to use about $443,000 of fund balance this fiscal year, but now only are expected to dip into the fund balance by about $157,000, which would bring our estimated ending fund balance to about $1.1 million at the close of this fiscal year. Last, we'll cover our community center fund. Things continue to look very positive there as well, and we are not expecting any subsidy to golf operations, and we'll go ahead and jump right into the details. Contracted operating revenues are at $3.6 million, or 99% of budget. They're expected to come in at about $4.4 million for the year, which is about $770,000, or 21% over budget. Town operating revenues are already 16% over a budget, or 116% over budget, with about $808,000 in collections. We're expecting to end the year at $985,000, which is $287,000, or 41% over budget. We bumped up our half-cent sales tax as well relative to the trends that we're seeing for the general fund, and we've collected about $2.7 million in other revenues, or 88.5% of budget through March. We expect to end up with $3.6 million at the end of the year, which is about $550,000, or 18% over budget. So that includes our half-cent sales tax, our HOA contributions, and then some smaller categories like interest income and that sort of thing. In total, the community center fund, we've collected $7.1 million through March, or 96% of budget, and expect to end up with a little over $9 million in collections, exceeding our budget by $1.6 million, or 22%. Moving on to expenditures for the fund, contracted operating expenditures are at $3.4 million through March, or 72% of budget. We are expecting to see some personnel and O&M savings coming in under budget by about $230,000, or 4.95% for the year. Town operating expenditures, we're seeing those trend pretty much on budget. Through March, we had spent about $739,000, or 68% of budget. We're expecting that category as well to land on budget at the end of the year. Capital is trending as expected. Through March, we had spent about $93,000, or 70% of our budget. We are expecting to land on budget by year end. Transfers out reflects savings from only needing to make an interest payment on our $25 million Parks and Rec bond issuance, despite both principal and interest being budgeted. In total, for the community center fund, we've spent about $4.4 million in expenditures through March, or 56% of budget. We expect to end the year spending about $6 million, a little over $6 million, which is $1.77 million, or 23% under budget, primarily due to transfers out savings. This is the chart for the Community Center Fund. Revenues improved dramatically over the last fiscal year, $7.1 million versus $5.5 million. Expenditures are up slightly as well, $4.4 million compared to $4 million for last fiscal year. We did plan to use about $400,000 in fund balance this year, but with the positive revenue collections, we are now expecting to end the year with a $3 million surplus and an estimated ending fund balance for the fund at $5.7 million. And with that, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, I'll be happy to entertain any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Does anybody have questions?
Just one. Do we close Push Ridge during the summer?
Commissioner Mason, I believe Push Ridge is going to be closed during the summer. That's my understanding. And the mayor is shaking his head yes. So, yes, I believe that is correct, that the rumors are true, yes.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Things are looking good.
Yes, thank you.
All right, and now we've got council liaison comments. So Mayor Winfield, please proceed.
Okay, thank you, Chair Salverson. As the commission may know, last week we had two budget sessions as a council. They were Wednesday and Thursday evening from 5 to 10 o'clock. I think we used the entire time that was allocated for those study sessions. You may have had the opportunity to listen in, but they were good discussions. And just as we've experienced this evening, staff did a fine job of making presentations and responding to council questions. We have a council meeting tomorrow evening. There will be some presentations, an art photography contest. Recipients will be recognized. We have a proclamation, Kids to Parks Day, and then we'll receive a similar presentation for the financial update that you've had tonight. There's a number of items on the consent agenda. The regular agenda will include the completion and identifying the winner of the naming contest for the former Vistoso Golf Course property. So after tomorrow evening, we'll no longer be referencing it as the former golf course property. And so that, and Mr. Mike Ford with the Conservation Fund, I believe, is going to be joining us tomorrow evening for that recognition of the winner and this step in the evolution of that town amenity. There's some other items relative to video recording board commission meetings, also a discussion about cost estimates related to the Naranja Park project, and then some discussion about the town's reclaimed water pipeline prioritization of the project. So it'll be a discussion. But that's my report.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions for the mayor? No. All right. Future agenda items. Does any member of the commission have any future agenda items that we'd like to add for future meetings?
I was just wondering if we could receive maybe a kind of an update or a vision of what steam pump is going to be used for. Or I know they have a lot of activities there, and I notice there's a lot of money in the budget for upgrading things there. So I'm just wondering if we could just get an update on the ranch.
Idea. Anybody else? No? Jim, is Jim still on? Yes. Okay.
Still here. I don't have any additions.
Okay. Thank you. I guess it's time to adjourn. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay, thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you very much.
We are adjourning at 5:25.